Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Kuf Yutet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, "Ba'al de Novi Givon Huchua Bamot." Once they reached Novi Givon, the Bamot became Mutarim again. That's post Churban Shiloh and prior to the Binyan of the Beit Hamikdash. Kodshei Kodashim Nechalim Lifnim and Aklaim. Kodshei Kodashim are eaten inside of the curtains. Kodshim Kalim Bechol Arei Yisrael. And the Kodshim Kalim are eaten throughout Arei Yisrael. Gemara asks on that, Minahane Milek. How do you know that that's the case, that once they reached Novin Givon, that the Bamot were Mutarot again? So this brings us back to Dvarim Yudbet, Parshat Re, this week's Parsha, that the restrictions that are placed on doing things the way that we're doing it today, Lo Tasun Kochol HaShanachnu Sim Po Hayom Ish Kol HaYashar Be'enav Ki. The reason you can't do that is kilo vatem arata el minucha ve'el nachala. You have yet to reach the minucha ve'el nachala. Hashem lokecha noten lach. So that's what the Gemara quotes over here: the nachala and minucha. El minucha zo shilo. Minucha is a reference to shilo. Nachala zo Yerushalayim. And nachala is a reference to Yerushalayim. We will see later on in the Gemara why it suggests that minucha is shilo and nachala is Yerushalayim. We'll take it as a given for right now. Lama chilkan? Why does the pasuk divide between them? Pasuk could have either written only one, not both of them, or it could have written them without a repetition, which is kilo vatem ata elam nucha ve'ela nachala. It could have just written elam nucha ve'nachala, or it could have just written el menucha ha'nachala. Why is it split as if they are two different locations? El menucha ve'ela nachala. Kidei liten heter ben zeh lezeh. In order to create a period of heter between the two of them, which means that during the time of Shiloh, the bamot are asurot. There is no bamat ayachid. There is only a central location to which you have to bring all your korbanot. Similarly with Yerushalayim, it's a central location. The bamot are not mutarot. All korbanot have to be brought to that central location. But between the two of them, between Korban Shiloh and the building of Yerushalayim, yesh heter. There is a heter there, and that's why the pasuk specifically has to split them and tell you that this is a period of time between Shiloh and Yerushalayim that will have a different din than Shiloh and Yerushalayim. So, Amalei Reish Lakish of Yochanan, Ma'aser Sheni Named Litnei. Why don't we also have Ma'aser Sheni mentioned over here? So this goes to a broader question. So if you look in the Bayit Tosafot up above, he says, Ba'al Novi Givon, Kodshim Kalim, U'Ma'aser Sheni B'chol Arei Yisrael. It says that the Kodshim Kalim and Ma'aser Sheni are throughout all of Eretz Yisrael. Bereish Pirkin v'matnitin, back on Kuf Yuman Bet, which has all the Mishnayot for the whole Perek. Over there it says, Perish HaKuntris, Dil El Bebaul Gilgal Lo Uskar Ma'aser Sheni. It doesn't mention by the Gilgal Ma'aser Sheni, because they did not begin to take off Masrot until after Kibush V'chiluk Yerusha V'yeshiva, after the 14 years. That's when they started to count the Yovel. That's when the Mitzvot HaTuliot Baretz kicked in. So, in our Mishnah, if you actually look at the Girsa in our Mishnah says, Ba'al Novi Givon, Huchua Bamot, Kodshei Kodashim Nechlim Lifnim Nechlim, Kodshim Kalim, Bechol Arei Yisrael. In our Mishnah, there is no Ma'aser Sheni. If you look on the margin there in the Mishnah, it says, U Ma'aser Sheni, Bechol Arei Yisrael. So that leads to a difference within the Rishonim as to what is actually written in the Mishnah. Rashi clearly views that there was Ma'aser Sheni written in the Mishnah. So then, the nature of Reish Lakish's question is going to be a little different. I'm Reish Lakish of Yochanan, Ma'aser Sheni Named Litnei. So according to Rashi, it's already found in the Mishnah. So what does that mean? They should also write Ma'aser Sheni. So for Rashi, that must mean that they should also bring Ma'aser Sheni up to Nov and Givon. Meaning, why is it that Ma'aser Sheni is permitted to be in Bechol Arei Yisrael? Why doesn't it have to be brought up to the center or the Bamat HaTzibur in Nov Givon? Similar to what happened in Shiloh, where it was Bechol HaRoeh, it has to be brought into a location, be Eden, where you could have a line of sight to Shiloh, or in Yerushalayim, where it has to be Eden, Lifnim Minachuma, inside the walls. So by Novin Givon, walls aren't necessarily relevant, but it is relevant Bechol HaRoeh. So why isn't there a demand for Bechol HaRoeh? And that's the nature of the question according to Rashi, because Rashi does have the Girsa of Ma'aser Sheni in the Mishnah. Now, if you don't have the Girsa of Ma'aser Sheni in the Mishnah, then the Gemara's question is much more simple and straightforward, which is, let the Mishnah write Ma'aser Sheni. Why in this Mishnah is Kodshim Kalim Bechol Arei Yisrael, and the word Ma'aser Sheni does not appear in the Mishnah? Why does Ma'aser Sheni not appear in the Mishnah? And that would be the more basic question that Rish Lakish is asking. So in one sense, the question is, Maisha Sheni, why is it eaten B'chol Arei Yisrael and not in Novin Givon? And then a more fundamental question is, if you don't have Maisur Sheni there, then why is it that Maisur Sheni is not mentioned at all in the Mishnah with regards to Nov and Givon? Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan responds to him and says, Ma'aser Sham Sham Me'aron Kalyalfe. There's a Gzei Rishava of Sham Sham from the Aron that teaches us, given the Aron Lahaya, Maiser Nami Lohabai. The Aron's not there, then the Maiser also is not there. So for Rashi, that means that if the Aron's not there, the Maiser does not need to be brought up to Novin Givon. It could be eaten B'chol Arei Yisrael. According to the other opinions, if there is no Aron there, there is no Maiser Sheni, because that's why it's absent from the Mishnah. We'll discuss this in a second in the Balei Tosafot, as to their question about Rashi's explanation and how they bring that alternate girsa as a possible solution to that problem. So now, the Maiser Sham Sham, Rashi brings a number of options here. He brings, again, from Parshat Re'ei, V'chaltem Sham, it says, V'chaltem Sham Lifnei Hashem Lokechem, V'smachtem B'chol Mishlachi Yedchem, Atem V'atechem, Asher Barach Hashem Lokecha. And the previous pasuk is "Puskima makom Asher Yivchar Hashem Lokechem Mikol Shivtechem Lasumish Mosham Lishichnu Tidushu Vatashama." And then you bring "Veveitem Sham Olotechem Vizivchechem Yad Masrotechem Itrat Yedchem Benidrechem Nidvotchem Uvorkor Bachem Itzonechem Vachaltem Sham Lifnei Hashem Lokechem." You have to eat them there. So there's that Sham, which is a reference to the Masrot. Inami, he brings another alternative, which is Vachalta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha Bamakom Asher Yivchar Lishaken Shemo Sham. That later on in Perek Yudalit, at the end of Parshat Re'ei, where there it also speaks about the Maser, Vanatata Keset B'chol Asher Taveh Nafshecha B'Bakar B'Tzon V'Yayin V'Shechar B'chol Asher Tishalcha Nafshecha Vachalta Sham Lifnei Hashem Elokecha B'Samachta Tavveitecha. So both psukim have the word Sham associated with the Masrot. And Ba'aron Ktiv in Shmot, it says, V'natata Sham et Aron, place the Aron inside of the Mishkan. And so the word Sham is used. The Gzer Shava is Sham Sham. That means that there's a correlation between Ma'asir and the Aron. And for Rashi, that means that that necessitates you bringing the Ma'asir to that location if the Aron is there. According to the other opinion, it necessitates Maiser Sheni, period. When the Aron is there, without the Aron, there is no Maiser Sheni. So now with regards to the Bamat HaTzibur of Novin Givon, as we discussed yesterday, Novin Givon housed the central Bamat HaTzibur, the Mizbeach there, but the Aron was not found there during the period of time that the Mizbeach was found there. And we discussed that yesterday, that the Aron, after the Churban Shiloh, goes out into the state Plishtim for a number of months. Then it's returned to Beit Shemesh. Beit Shemesh hands it off to Kiryat Yearim. And in Kiryat Yearim, it stays for 20 years until David tries to bring it up to Yerushalayim. Then it gets stuck for 3 months. Beit Oved Odom Agiti, because of the incident with Uzzah. And then 3 months later, he gets it up into Ir David, and the Aron stays in Ir David until Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beit HaMikdash. So the Aron is separated away from the Mizbeach during that period of time of Novin Givon. So you have a Bamat HaTzibur, but you do not have the Aron over there. And that's what the Gemara says here, that the Maser was not relevant because the Aron wasn't there. Gemara says, Ihochi, if that's the case, Pesach v'Kodoshim Nami. Pesach and Kodoshim should have the same status. The Sham, Sham, Me'aron Yalfe. Because the second pasuk that we read is really uniquely associated with Masrot. But the pasuk that we read originally from Devarim Yud Bet in Parshat Re'eh, there we noted there were a list, a litany of items that are included in this requirement, V'achaltem Sham Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, that you have to eat them before Hashem in that central location. And therefore the word Sham then would be associated with all of those items. And there would be a requirement for an Aron in order to bring the Pesach and the Kodoshim. So Kevan, if that's the case, that if there is no Aron there, you shouldn't have to bring those items as well. Amalei, Damarlach, Hamani. It says that I would say to you, Hamani, who's the author of this position? Rabbi Shimon, this is Rabbi Shimon Domar. Avtzibur lo ikrivu ala Pesach, chovot akavu lahem zman. It is true that all other korbanot are not brought there, because the only things that are brought there are the Pesach. The Pesach is because we know Begilgal. They brought the Pesach and the Bamat HaTzibur, the Chovot HaKavul Lahem Zman. And Rabbi Shimon has a very narrow scope, as we saw in yesterday's daf, as to what Chovot HaKavul Lahem Zman is. It's only something that's relevant both on Bamat HaTzibur and a Bamat HaYachid that has a Zman Kavua. And that limited us to Olot that have a Kavul Lahem Zman. About Chovot, Shein Kavul Lahem Zman, Both on a bamakdola and a bamaktana, they were not put on the mizbeach. So enochanami, that's right. Other kodoshim also would not be brought up to Novin Givon, according to Rabbi Shimon, because there's a very limited scope of items that are similar to a Pesach, and the Pesachs are given because that happened with Yoshua and the Gilgal, so we know that that can be brought on a Bamat HaTzibur, and that's the one exception to the rule. And then we saw yesterday the Balei Tosafot and Rashi explaining that if it's Domeh the Pesach or Kavod HaKvulam Zman, that is the only other item that is included to be brought by the Tzibur on the Bamat HaTzibur. Then it says, Maser Behema, Chuvot She'en Kavulam Zmanu. So wait a minute. Maser Behema is a chuvah, it's an obligatory offering, but it does not have a fixed time. It's whenever you have the 10 animals in the corral, you bring them out, and you are doing the maser. You indicate the 10th one as being Kodesh Lashem, and that is doing Maser Behema. It's not at a fixed time, it's whenever the individual, the owner of the animals, decides to do it. Ve'itkish Maser Dagan, the Maser Behema. And there is a hekesh between Maser Dagan and Maser Behema, which is Aser Te Aser. So now, in that case, the solution is, the author of the position is Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says the only thing that is brought on the Mizbeach is Pesach, V'chovot HaKavul HaMzman. One of the exceptions to that would be Maser Behema, which is not a Chovah HaKavul HaMzman, which means it's not brought on the Bamat HaTzibur. Since it's not brought on the Bamat HaTzibur, it affects the Maser Dagan, because we have a hekesh between Maser Behema and Maser Dagan, which is Aser Taser, that B'shtei Masrot HaKatuv Midaver. One was Maser Behema, and one is Maser Dagan. And so then Rabbi Shimon will be the author of our Mishnah. And the truth is that Balei HaTosafot point out that it doesn't have to be Rabbi Shimon. It could be anyone from Braita that we brought before who argue on Rabbi Yehuda, which is, it could be the Rabbanon, it could be Rabbi Meir, and it could be the Rabbanon Batrai, because all of them believe that the Bamat HaTzibur did not allow for things like Maser Behema to be brought on it. The reason Tosafot says the Gemara picked Rabbi Shimon to be the author of that position is because Rabbi Shimon's also the one who's the author of the position of Aser Taser. And so the correlation between the two of them gives you the limud. Number one, Maser Behema is not brought on a Bamat HaTzibur. Number two, Aser Taser tells you when you can't bring Maser Behema, you can't have Maser Dagan. So Rabbi Shimon or any of the other Chachamim will be the authors of our Mishnah, but the hekesh between Maser Behema and Maser Dagan is uniquely associated with Rabbi Shimon. So consistent in Rabbi Shimon's opinion, you can say that there was no Maser Sheni. Either it wasn't necessary to bring it up to Novin Givon, or it wasn't brought at all, according to the other gears that we have in the Gemara. So the source is no longer from Sham Sham, because Sham Sham would have had a much more expansive, inclusionary problem to it, which is that it would include all these other items that also have the same Gzer Shava, and without the Aron, you wouldn't be bringing any Korbanot, basically, on the Bamot HaTzibur. And so that's why Rabbi Yochanan answers Reish Lakish and says that the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. And based on Rabbi Shimon's position, you get to the conclusion that there is no Maser Dagan or no Maser Sheni. Mar says Michlal. The fact that that's Rabbi Shimon's opinion, that Rabbi Yehuda Karev, that Rabbi Yehuda would believe that you do bring it. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda says that you can bring any obligatory Korban on a Bamot HaTzibur. So Mar says in. That's true. Dama Ravador Bar Matno, Maser Sheni, Maser Behema, Nechalim b'Novin Givon l'divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Maser Sheni and Maser Behema are eaten in Novin Givon according to Rabbi Yehuda. So here you see that there is support for that view that this is a machloke between Rabbi Shimon, including the other Chachamim that agreed with Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yehuda as to whether Maser Sheni or Maser Dagan was relevant to Nov and Givon because it's correlated with the Maser Behema. So if you believe Maser Behema is brought, like Rabbi Yehuda, then you're also going to believe that Maser Sheni was brought. If you believe, like Rabbi Shimon, that Maser Behema was not brought, then you're also going to believe that Maser Dagan, Maser Sheni, was not brought to Nov and Givon. So then the Gemara says, Vaha boi bira velav. Don't you require a bira, and it doesn't exist. Now, the question of what it means here, bira, the word bira has different meanings in both Tanakh, as well as in the Gemara. Sometimes it refers to Yerushalayim. Sometimes it refers to the Beit HaMikdash. Sometimes it refers to the Kodesh, or the Kodesh HaKodeshim in the Mikdash. Over here, it seems that it's referencing either to a permanent structure, it needs a Bira, it needs a Mikdash, or it needs a place that is infused with Kiddusha. And as Rashi points out, the reason being is that you have to bring this stuff, Achaltem Sham, Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. You have to eat it before Hashem. So you have to be doing it in a place or location that is classified as being Lifnei Hashem. And that seemingly is only true of a structure or a permanent structure that has that Ashrat HaShchinah, or it's a reference to, like David HaMelech calls, the Mikdash Bira. So that's missing over here. So then how could you require that the Maaser Sheni be brought up there if there is no Bira? My answer is, Tani Rav Yosef, Shalosh Birotim. There are three Birot. Shiloh, Benov Gibeon, Ubeit Olamim. Hu Tani La, he quoted the Braita, Vu Amar La, and he explained it. Lachilat Maaser Sheni, Vali the Rav Yehuda, the Nafkamino, or the meaning of that is, that according to Rav Yehuda, in these three locations, it will be classified as a Bira, meaning that you can eat Maaser Sheni in those areas. And that would be Shiloh, which again we know already, Beit Olamim, which we also know, but the addition here is Novi Gibon, which solves that problem as to, don't you need Bira? The answer is that it is considered to be a Bira. And its classification as a Bira makes it that, according to Rav Yehuda, Maaser Sheni is brought over there. Now, I wanted to go back now and discuss what the Tosafot discusses over here, which is, Rashi says that there is a correlation between the Chiyuv Maaser Sheni and Yerushalmi Yeshiva, which means that after the 14 years of Kibush V'Chiluk, Maaser Sheni kicks in, and after that point in time, there is Maaser Sheni. So what Tosafot is bothered by is, I agree, or I understand, but in the Gilgal, why they didn't bring Maaser Sheni, that's because it was prior to the time that you're chayav in Maaser Sheni. It's prior to Kibush, V'chiluk, Yerusha, V'yeshiva. After the 14 years, that's when the Mitzvot HaTluyot V'aretz start. But that implies in Rashi that after that point in time, you always were chayav in Maaser Sheni. And what Tosafot says over here is, I'm not sure I understand that. Over here, the Gemara compares Maaser Sheni to Maaser Behema. Now when it says Maaser Behema is not brought to Novan Givon, that means that there is no Korban Maaser Behema. So then, why isn't that paralleled for Maaser Sheni? Why is there any Maaser Sheni? There should be no Maaser Sheni. Just like you can't have a Maaser Behema, so too it should be that you can't have a Maaser Sheni. That is the Hekesh between them. According to Rashi, there was Maaser Sheni. It just wasn't brought up to Nov Givon. That goes to Rashi's Girsa in the Mishnah. Rashi's Girsa in the Mishnah is that you can eat Kochim Kalim, Maaser Sheni, B'chol Arei Yisrael. You can eat them anywhere you want. So that implies that Rashi thinks there is Maaser Sheni, but there's no demand that you bring it up to Novi Givon. But if you say that Maaser Behema is gone completely when there is no Aron, or according to Rabbi Shimon, it's a Chuvash and Kavul Azman, so it can't be brought in B'mat Tzibur, it disappears completely. And he says, Vayu Tzvichim Lamtim B'Bechor Maaser Ad Shimumu. And you'd have to wait with a Bechor Maaser until got a Mum in it, V'Nechalim B'Muman. And then they're eaten by the Balim in their Mum. U'Maaser Sheni Lo Yeh Lo Takana. And Maaser Sheni should have the same problem. Ela B'Pidyon. The only way you can rectify the situation is to redeem it, and then probably throw the monies into Yam HaMelech. But you shouldn't have the ability to eat Maaser Sheni anywhere you want. And then Tosafot brings, V'yesh Sfarim Delo Garsi B'Matnitin Maaser Sheni Klal Gabei Novi Givon. That's the alternate Girsa that we mentioned before in the Mishnah, that there's some Girsot that don't have Maaser Sheni mentioned there at all. And so Tosafot's saying, that would actually fit very well with what I'm saying. That when you don't have the ability to bring the Maaser Sheni to Novi Givon, there is no ability to rectify the situation. You can't do anything with the Maaser Sheni except to redeem it. And that's it. That's all you can do. There's no other way to deal with it. You can't eat it. So he says, V'nira lefaresh. But now he backs away from that and defends Rashi. Did the Inyan Hava'ah u'shayach l'akish. The bringing of it up to Novi Givon, that's where there's a hekesh. Dihai ta'un avat makom, gamzei ta'un avat makom. Just like that requires to be brought up to that location, so too the other. Meaning, just like Maaser Behema requires to be brought up, so too Maaser Dagan. Aval ma she'in Maaser Behema karev, the Rabbi Shimon, the fact that Maaser Behema doesn't go on a b'mat tzibur, according to Rabbi Shimon, mishum dechuvot l'korvu, le'in zein shayach l'akish, Maaser Sheni, sh'lein e'achal b'chol makom. There's no reason to create a hekesh to say that Maaser Sheni won't be eaten anywhere else. Da ein Maaser Behema nechal, mishum debay matan damim ve'murin. The failure in Maaser Behema is not an inherent failure. It's an inability to put the dam and the murim on a mizbeach. V'lo efshar. It's just simply possible. There's nothing you could do here. Avo Maaser Sheni, shori. Maaser Sheni, you can be mafrishit, and you have it. There's nothing that's stopping you from eating the Maaser Sheni. There's nothing you have to do functionally with it. So he says that the problem with Maaser Behema is a much more of a technical problem. And that type of technical problem is not going to be a part of the Hekesh. The fundamental part of it, which is the Hava'ah, that is not required by the Maaser Behema, that will be affect the Meiser Sheni in terms of it not requiring Hava. But the fact that you can't bring the Meiser Behema is a technical problem, which is there's no place to put the Dam and Emurim because the Bamara Tzibur doesn't accept this type of Korban. So it's a failure in the technical sense of that you can't process this Meiser Behema. But just because you can't process the Meiser Behema doesn't mean that Meiser Sheni's out. Meiser Sheni, you can separate and you can eat because there's no requirement for Mizbeach or no requirement of Havat Makom. Meiser Sheni can be eaten. So that's how the Bali Tosafot distinguishes and then in the end defends the position of Rashi that Meiser Sheni could be eaten b'chol makom. Tosafot over here then discusses the Bikurim, and he says maybe Bikurim, just like the Meiser Sheni, should be b'chol Arei Yisrael. So that can't be because Bikurim require that to be placed Hanacha Yitzel HaMizbeach. And Hanacha Yitzel HaMizbeach can only be done b'nov gibon. It can't be done on any other Bama or any other Mizbeach that you put up anywhere. In addition, Bikurim require Tnufa, and Tnufa has to be done Lifnei Hashem. So that too also can only be done on a Bama Gdola, cannot be done on a Bama Ktana. And then Tosafot goes on to discuss the distinction he makes with regards to a Mincha, which also requires Tnufa. Nevertheless, you are allowed to bring it on a Bama Teyachid according to the Rabbonon that argue in Rabbi Yehuda. And that's because he said before, on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Bet, that the Tnufata Mincha is not the primary aspect of the Mincha. It's only a derivative aspect, the main parts of the Kometz and the Akhtara, and that you can do on a Bama Ktana. On the other hand, for the Chazen Shok that he mentioned back on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Bet, as well as the Bikurim, the Tnufa, the wave offering that's done to them, is the primary avodah, the primary process that's done to them, and therefore if you can't do it, it's going to disqualify them. And that's why they cannot be brought on a Bama Ktana. It can only be brought on a Bama Gedola. But what you see from the conclusion over here that the Bali Tosafot believe, that Bikurim can be brought on the Bama Gdola. That is against what we saw in the Marsha yesterday, and we noted that yesterday that the Tosafot disagrees. The Marsha says that Novin Givon only derived their Kedusha because of Ashrat HaShchina, not because they were Makom Mikudash, as opposed to Shiloh and Beit Olamim, which are Mikomot Mikudashim, which makes them into holy places, and that's why the Bikurim can be brought there, because they have a status of a Makom Kadosh, which is not true of Novin Givon. That's why the Marsha ran into the problem of how is Novin Givon different than Gilgal and the Mizbeah, the Mishkan and the Midbar? Because all of them have Kedusha because of Ashrat HaShchina. And so what's unique about Novin Givon, whereby we said that that was uniquely associated with the Ashrat HaShchina, like Shiloh and Beit Olamim. According to the Bali Tosafot, it's understandable because Novin Givon also get a status of Makom Kadosh because you do bring up Bikurim to Novin Givon. Although the Ramban in the Torah says that Bikurim are not brought in Novin Givon, that's because there's a requirement that they be brought Beit Hashem Elokecha, which is found in Parshat Mishpatim with regards to the Bikurim. And Beit Hashem Elokecha is only a reference to Shiloh and Beit Olamim. And that means in Novin Givon there's no requirement to bring Bikurim because it's not a Beit Hashem Elokecha. Although that is a little difficult given the conclusion of our Gemara that says that Novin Givon was also called a Birah. And if you think the word Bira means a house, a structure of some sort, then Novin Givon are also called a Bira. If you take up some of the other possibilities, that it's Lifnei Hashem Elokechem, like Rashi says, or the other things that Bira could be, then it'd be less of a problem for that Ramban that says that Bikurim were not brought in Novin and Givon. Alright, now we continue in the Gemara, which is Ba'u Yerushalayim. Nesru Abamot, Lo Elahem Heter. And they were no longer Mutarim ever again. V'yaita Nachala. And that was classified as the Nachala. Kodshei Kodashim Nechlim Lifnim Minachlaim. Kodshim Kalim U'Maiser Sheni Lifnim Minachuma. And Kodshim Kalim and Maiser Sheni are eaten inside of the wall. So now, the Gemara says, Tarabanan. Kilovate Marata Ela Menucha Vela Nachala. Menucha Zo Shilo. Nachala Zo Yerushalayim. So that's the way our Mishnah learns it. And that's what we've been noting all along, that Menucha is Shilo. Nachala is Yerushalayim, and that's why an Isra Bamot kicks in again when we reach Yerushalayim. Ve'omer. So how do you know that the word Nachala is a reference to Yerushalayim? So that comes from Yirmiyahu Yudbet. And in Yirmiyahu Yudbet, Pasuk Chet and Pasuk Tet, it says the following. Haitali Nachalati Karyei Bayar. Natna Lai Bekula Alkein Snetia. Ha'ayit Tzavua Nachalati Li. Ha'ayit Tzaviva Leha. So the Pasuk is speaking to Hashem's, in a sense, rejection of Yerushalayim, or he's seeing Yerushalayim turning its back on him. And he says, I have forsaken my house, which is the pasuk before, Zavti et beiti, Natashti et nachlati. I have given up my house. I have forsaken my heritage. Natati yidut nafshi b'kafoi veha. And I've given my dearly beloved into the hands of their enemies. Why is that? So these are the psukim that we just quoted, which is because my nachlati, my heritage, my nachla has become to me as a lion in the forest. It cries out against me. I mean, it's turned against me. It's become like an enemy to me. Therefore, I have hated it. My inheritance, again, referencing to Yerushalayim, is like a long clawed eagle to me, but the eagle is round about her. Come and gather together all the wild beasts of the field, bring them to devour. So you see that here in a negative sense, Hashem refers to Yerushalayim as Nachalati. He's saying in the destruction of Yerushalayim, or his allowing for the destruction of Yerushalayim, is because it's turned against him, or the people of Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim has turned against him. But in all these cases, the Psukim in Yirmiyahu use the word Nachalati as a reference to Yerushalayim. So you see the word Nachala is used synonymously with Yerushalayim, and the term Nachala in general is a term of permanence, something that is everlasting because it's something that flows and continues to flow. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Menucha zu Yerushalayim, Nachala zu Shiloh. So he has it just the opposite, that Menucha is Yerushalayim and Nachala is Shiloh. Vomer, and he proves it from Tehilim Kuf Lamed Bet. Again, there are two psukim in a row which give you the same feeling that the word Menucha is a reference to Yerushalayim. That's Psukim Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet. Ki bichar Hashem b'tzion. Hashem has chosen Tzion. Iva lemoshav lo. He desires to reside there. Zot menuchati adayat. That is my resting place forever. Poeshev. Here I will dwell. Ki ivitia. Because I have desired it. So the Gemara brings the Psukim in the opposite order to say that zot menuchati adayat. This is my resting place, this is my mnucha forever, which is Yerushalayim, because that's the area or the place that was chosen forever. And then it brings the previous pasuk to prove to you that the mnuchati in this pasuk is a reference to Yerushalayim, because it says, Ki bachar Hashem b'tzion, iva the moshav lo. So the ivitia, he desired it, and the iva in the previous pasuk are a reference to Yerushalayim. And so that's Rabbi Shimon's proof that the word mnucha is a reference to Yerushalayim. Bishlam alaman damar. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, says, Menucha zo Shiloh, haynu dichtiv, ela menucha, ela nachala. Then, the order of the pasuk makes sense. It's in chronological order. It says, Kilovat marata, ela menucha is Shiloh, ela nachala is Yerushalayim. So that makes sense. Ela mandamar menucha zo Yerushalayim, nachala zo Shiloh, ela nachala, ela menucha mi bayle. It should have changed the order of the pasuk. It should have said, ela nachala, which is Shiloh, ela menucha, which is Yerushalayim. According to Rabbi Shimon's explanation, it's backwards, it's out of chronological order. So, hachikamar, this is what it has to say. Lo mi bay menucha, you don't have to tell me about menucha, de lo matitu, that you haven't reached it yet. Ela afilo nachala, lo mi lo natitu, you haven't even reached the nachala. So it's saying, the reason that there's hetar abamot now, and there is a requirement of bamata tzibur, and all the differentiations that happen there that you can't do like we do in the midbar, that's because not only have you not come to the nachala, which is Yerushalayim, you haven't even made it to the Menucha, you haven't even made it to Shiloh. If you at least made it to Shiloh, the din would be different. But you haven't even made it there. So it's like a lozu avzu type of setup, which is not only have you not made it to Yerushalayim, you haven't even made it to Shiloh. Now we have two more opinions. Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, zo v'zo Shiloh. Both Menucha and Nachala is a reference to Shiloh. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, and Ashbi says, zo v'zo Yerushalayim. Both of them are Yerushalayim. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, it's easy to understand what he's saying, because you had Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both gave you psukim that support the fact that Yerushalayim is known as Nachala, and it's known as Menucha. So that'd be the explanation of his position. What you'd also have to say here is that these are two Tanaim according to Rabbi Shimon, because Stam Rabbi Shimon and Shas is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And we just quoted this opinion in the name of Rabbi Shimon before. So now you have Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. That means Rabbi Shimon appears twice with regards to this, and so that must be two Tanaim in the position of Rabbi Shimon. But Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel says, zo v'zo Shiloh, he says that's both a reference to Shiloh. What does that mean? So Rashi explains over here. According to Rashi, for the one who says that they are both a reference to Shiloh, then after Shiloh goes there is no permanent kedusha. It was a makom hakadosh, but when it's destroyed, that makom loses its kedusha. And you revert back to Heter HaBamot. Yerushalayim as well, while it is extant, it has Kedushat HaMakom, and therefore there's Yisr HaBamot. Once Yerushalayim is destroyed, that Kedushat HaMakom disappears, because this day up, according to Rashi, this is consistent with Rabbi Shmuel that's found in Megillah, that the Kedusha Rishon is Kitcha L'Shaita below Kitcha L'Atidavo. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim was not permanent. It was only relevant while the Beit HaMikdash is standing. After the Churban HaBayit, there was no longer any Kedusha. And therefore, there will also be a Heter Bamot post-Churban Yerushalayim according to this day. Kedarmina b'Megillah. Shamati shimakrivim b'Bet Chunyo b'Zman Hazeh ve'ukimna k'Rabbi Shmuel. We set that up like Rabbi Shmuel. So he says, this is Rabbi Shmuel the Shittato. The other hand, the Baal HaTosafot believe that Rabbi Shmuel holds that Kedusha Rishona was permanent. And that is because in the Gemara and Megillah, it's actually not Rabbi Shmuel, it's Rabbi Shmuel by Rabbi Yossi. And he says that he's conflating Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shmuel by Rabbi Yossi, and they're really not of the same opinion over here. He says, V'lo dak, Rashi wasn't so careful, Dahatam Rabbi Shmuel by Rabbi Yossi, Dahu bach Rabbi, Mei Rabbi. V'hocha Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Bar Plukta, the Rabbi Akiva, Rabosh, Rabbi Shimon by Yochai. And therefore, he thinks that post Churban Shiloh, there was Heter HaBamot, and that's because of the Pasuk in Tehillim, that says that Hashem vayimas b'ol Yosef, that he rejects Shiloh and he pushed it out. That's not true of Yerushalayim, which gains permanent Kedusha, and therefore Yerushalayim, even post the Churban, is still going to have an Yisr HaBamot, according to this Mandamar, that says they're both referencing to Shiloh. Miu, Yevshar lomar l'didei, Shiloh yeh heter achar Shiloh. He says Shiloh was the only thing mentioned in the Pasuk, which seemed to indicate once Shiloh came about, there's no Heter HaBamot, and there's no Bamot again ever. So he says, but it's impossible to say that there wasn't a Heter HaBamot achar Shiloh, because the Tanakh is replete with situations in which people are bringing Korbanot at a Bama. It includes Avshalom, who says he's going to fulfill his neder in Hebron, and you also have it by Shmuel and David, where they're eating Korbanot that are brought in local locations. They're not brought up to a central location, and they're bringing Korbanot. So all throughout Shmuel Aleph, you have Korbanot that are being brought on Bamot, and doesn't seem to be there's any problem with it at all. Obviously, there must have been a het there afterwards for him, because otherwise you couldn't explain all of those cases that are found in Shmuel Aleph. So there's a lot of loose ends with regards to Rabbi Shmuel's Shita. Again, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's Shita is a lot easier, which is there's a Heter Bamot all the way until Yerushalayim. From Yerushalayim onwards, there is no Heter Bamot. Right, so now the Gemara says, Bishlam alaman damar mnucha zo shilo nachala zo Yerushalayim inami ipcho. According to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the first two opinions, that either say that mnucha zo shilo nachala zo Yerushalayim, or vice versa. Hainu dichtev el mnucha vela nachala. That's why it uses two words. One to describe Yerushalayim, one to describe Shiloh. Laman damar zo b'zo Shiloh. Oh, zo b'zo Yerushalayim. If you think both words are referring to Shiloh, but both words are referring to Yerushalayim, menucha menachal mebayile? Why do you need menucha nachala? You don't need both descriptions over there. You could use one and it would have sufficed. Kasho. That's a problem. That's a serious question over here. It's very interesting. I don't know how you formulate a position that is so difficult given the fact that you can't explain why it's mentioned twice in the Pasuk. And it seems so obvious, the question. Where it says, Bishlamo, the mandamar zobazo Shiloh, and one who says they're both Shiloh, Mnucha, the Nachumi Kibush. I'll explain why both of them are called Shilohs. Mnucha comes from the fact that they rested from the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. Nachala, de Paugu Hatam Nachalot. It's called Nachala because they divided up the Nachala. They did the division or the distribution of the areas of Eretz Yisrael in Shiloh. Because it says there in Yoshua, when they gather in Shiloh, Vayichalek lahem Yoshua, Vayapel lahem Gorau b'Shiloh al pi Hashem. So the Gorau and the division of Eretz Yisrael is done in Shiloh, which is not an exact quote. Pesuk there says in Perek Yuchet, Pesuk Yud, Vayishlech lahem Yoshua Gorau b'Shiloh lifnei Hashem, Vayichalek shem Yoshua et aretz lifnei Yisrael kamachlik kotam. So even though it's not an exact quote, it's trying to give you the feeling that is expressed by the Pesuk, and emphasizing the aspect that we want over here, which is Vayichalek Lehem Yoshua, that the chiluk of the Nachala is taking place over there. So you have both aspects there. You have Menucha, which is once they had finished the kibush, then they go to Shiloh to begin the process of dividing up the land and directing the Shvatim as to where they should go and where they should settle. And then you have a pasuk that explicitly says that they were dividing the Nachalot in Shiloh, and therefore both Menucha and Nachala are relevant to Shiloh. L'man d'amar zov yozo Yerushalayim, the one who says that both of them reference to Yerushalayim, Bishma Nachala, why is it called Nachala? Nachalat Olamim. Because it is a permanent Nachala, meaning that Yerushalayim becomes the permanent place where Shem resides. El Menucha, my Menucha. What Menucha is associated with Yerushalayim? Again, here, this is an interesting question, because both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda both brought before Psukim that were supportive of the fact that Yerushalayim was called Menucha, and Yerushalayim was called Nachala. Over here, the Gemara is looking for a different reason than that which we brought in the Psukim before. It's very strange that it's looking for another reason. Despite that, the Gemara says, don't worry about that, because my Menucha, Menucha Aron. Menucha is the resting place of the Aron, it's the location of the Aron, Dichtiv, Vahi Kenoach Aron. And it was when the Aron came to rest. The only problem with that is, there's no such pasuk in Tanakh. It makes somewhat of sense over here that it's not an exact quote, because we just did that before with the pasuk from Yoshua, but the quote is not parallel with the quote from the pasuk itself. Although it might be that the question of the Gemara is, if Menucha Adead, Menucha is a permanent state, why was it that there was a Chuban Bayit Rishon? And therefore, then now the Gemara reverts to Menuchat Aaron, which goes along with the sheet of the Rambam, that Kedushat Yerushalayim is imbued through the Aaron being there. And even after Chuban Bayit Rishon, the Aaron, or the Ashrat HaShchina that came to Yerushalayim, never leaves Yerushalayim. And that, again, is the belief of the Briskers, that the Rambam thinks Kedushat Yerushalayim is Talui Ba'aron. And even in Bayit Sheni, where there is no Aaron, the Aaron from Bayit Rishon was put into Kniza and Har HaBayit. And that's what grants Kedushah to Bayit Sheni, even though there's no visible present Aron there, there still is the presence of the Aron there, even though it's in Geniza. So that leaves us in a bind as to what exactly is the Gemara referencing to. You can see in Rashi, Chipastiv velo mitzativ. I searched throughout Tanakh, and I could not find such a pasuk. And if it's not explicitly in the Psukim, I have another pasuk in Divrei Yamim, where it speaks about Shlomo, and it says, Kuma Hashem Elukim lenochacha ata v'aron uzecha. Rise up, Hashem Elukim lenochacha, to your resting place, ata v'aron uzecha. You and the Ark of the Covenant, your great strength. So there you see this idea of Menucha being associated with the Aron. In addition, you can see here in the Mesorah Shas, he brings others. He says, Mikra zehu nami biktuvim betilim. Says you can also find a pasuk like this in Tehillim, Siman Kuf Lamed Bet, Ayin Sham, Ve'eish Avi Rayam in a pasuk acher, B'divrei Yamim. He says, not only is it found in Tehillim, that same pasuk, but it's also found another pasuk in Divrei Yamim, Gabi David, Tivani Im Levavi, Beit Menucha L'Aron Brit Hashem. That says, Beit Menucha L'Aron Brit Hashem. So again, a bayit of Menucha L'Aron Brit Hashem. So that's not enough. So here you have three psukim, two of them are same, and then three psukim over here. Bali Tosfot make other suggestions. He says, Perish Rashi, brings the Pasuk from Divrei Yamim, and he says, Vabi Matzi Lavi Pasuk Tichtib Yoshua. We have the Pasuk from Yeshua, which is, Vayak Noach Kapot Raglei HaKohanim Nosei Aron, the crossing through the Yardane. Once they came to rest, the Yardane splits, and then once they leave the Yardane goes back to its normal flow. So there it says, Vayak Noach Kapot Raglei HaKohanim, when their feet rested, those that were carrying their own. Inami, the Pasuk in Vayibin Sora, in Bamidbar, in Parshat Balotcha, Vayibin Soaron, Uvnucho Yomar. So here you have numerous psukim that have the word Noach or Menucha associated with the Aron. None of them, what the Gemara is mentioning over here, but we definitely see that there is this association with Menucha and the Aron. Alright. Bishlam Alamandamar, Zobizo Yerushalayim, according to one who says that both of them are referenced to Yerushalayim. Aval Shiloh Hava Sharia Bamot. In the time of Shiloh, Bamot were Mutarot. That would actually help out a big problem, which is the fact that throughout Sefer Shoftim, as we noted before, there are many times where Bamot are brought. Gemara here only cites one of those, which is the time of Shimshon. But it also mentions it in the time of Gidon, that he brings a Korban. And the Gemara here makes no reference to that, but that was a Bama during the time of Mishkan Shiloh. The Gemara says, Bamot, Hanu Dichtin. Now you can explain what happened with Manoach, who is the father of Shimshon. Vayikach Manoach Evdi Aizim. He put it up on the rock to Hashem, and then he asks the Malach to take it up to Shemayim, and the fire comes down and takes up the Malach and the Korban to Shemayim. But you see here, he's being makriv on a Bama during the time of Mishkan Shiloh. So according to one who says, well, the Isur Bamot only started in Yerushalayim, that's great. According to one who says that it's both of them reference to Shiloh, and clearly there's Isur Bamot in the time of Mishkan Shiloh, And the truth is, it applies to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon's opinion both as well, meaning that if you said it was Mishkan Shiloh and Yerushalayim, you still have the same problem. Mai veikach Manoach. Then how do you explain what Manoach did? Horat sha'aita. It was an exceptional case. The Malach told him it was okay. It was a one-time, outside-of-the-box type of situation, similar to Eliyahu in Harakamel, where even though the Beit HaMikdash is standing, that he brings a korban on Harakamel. Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel, to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rashi notes over here, they found a braita in the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Shmuel that followed the position of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Damar zol b'zol Yerushalayim. That both of them were a reference to Yerushalayim. V'simanech. And the way to remember that is, Mashche Gavra the Gavre. That the Gavra pulled the Gavre. Rashi says over here, what he says back on Nun Gimel Amud Bet, which is that Gavra is a reference to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Gavre is a reference to Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel. That is because Gavra is singular, and so that's a reference to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who's a single Tana in having an opinion. Gavre is plural, that's a reference to Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel, which is a large number of people with the same opinion. And over here, the siman is Mashche Gavra le Gavre. The Gavra, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, pulled in the Gavre, which is Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel. The problem with that is that back on Nun Gimel Amud Bet, we have a similar siman, and the siman is just the opposite. It's simanich, mashka gavre the gavra. So over there, it's Tana de Beit Shmuel, it's pulling in Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And then the Baal Tosfot says that basically renders the whole thing moot, because how do you know which is which if the siman could change from gavra to gavre or gavre to gavra? Then you never know. It's always confusing because it's not the same siman every time. Therefore, the Baal Tosfot back there say that the siman is the following. Gavra is a reference to Rabbi Ishmael. Gavre is a reference to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. The reason being is that Rabbi Ishmael is referred to by his name only. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is referred to by his name and his father's name, and therefore he's called Gavre. And he says, therefore the Girsa over here should be the same as the Girsa back on Nun Gimel Amud Bet, and it should say over here, Mashcha Gavre the Gavra. That the Gavre, meaning Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, pulled in the Gavra, which is Rabbi Ishmael. And therefore, it would be consistent that the siman is always the same, which is Mashcha Gavre the Gavra. That it's always the Gavre, the one with the two names, pulls in the Gavra, the one with the single name. And that would then make it consistent between the two cases. And also make it that the siman is a valuable siman, because it's always read the same way. Alright. Kol HaKodeshim Shiktisham B'Shat Yisra B'Mot V'Kivam B'Shat Yisra B'Mot Mibachutz V'Elu B'Asei V'Lo T'Asei V'Chayim V'Lav Karet. So now we have a qualification of this, which is Amrav Gana Loshanu Ela B'Shchita. It's only true B'Shchita. Aba Hala'a Karet Nami Mechayev. When it comes to Hala'a, you're going to be Chayev Karet either way. My time. What's the reason? Damakra Valehem Tomar. Because it says in the Pasuk in Achrei Mot that discusses Shchita Bachutz and Hala'a Bachutz. Pesukim over there say Valehem Tomar Ish Mi Beit Yisrael Min Ager Asher Gur B'Tucham Asher Yale Ula O Zavach. Then the next Pasuk is Vel Petach Omoed Lo Yevienu. So there's a chiyuv karet associated with the person who acts this way, and it says va'alehem. Now, alehem is, according to this, a reference to that which came before it. Immediately before it, in the pasuk Zayin, it says, v'lo yizbichu od et zivcheyem la'si'irim, shebzonim achreyem chukat olam te'ezot lehem l'dorotam. So the Gemara told us earlier that that was an azara for shchutei chutz, shi'tisham b'shat heter abamot, v'ikravam b'shat yisur abamot. When you brought them Mishat Heter Abamot, and then you makriv them Mishat Yisra Abamot. So what the Mishnah indicates is that there's a difference between something that was done Mishat Yisra Abamot, and then continued during Yisra Abamot. Which means that if you brought it, makdish it in a time of Yisra Abamot, and you makriv it Mishat Yisra Abamot, there it says, Asay, Lotasay, and Karet. Then, if you are makdish it Be'etman Heter Abamot, and then you are makriv it Mishat Yisra Abamot, Gemara over there says that there is an assay and a lot assay, but there is no chiyuv karet, because the pasuk says, zot lahem l'torotam, zot v'lo acheret. This and not the other one, meaning that there's only one that gets karet, not everything gets karet. So then, what Rav Kahana comes along to do over here is, qualify that and say that's only true with regards to shchita. That distinction between hetesh sheheter abamot, and then shchita b'zman yisra abamot, that they won't be karet there. But if you did it bit, Hektesh b'shat Yisra b'mot, and Shchita b'shat Yisra b'mot, then it will be karet. That's only with Shchita. Ha'ala doesn't matter. That's because Valeyem Tomar. Valeyem Tomar is built on that which is before. The pasuk before discussed the case of hektesh bezman heter abamot, and then shchita bezman iser abamot. And then it says aleim tomar. If you do that and you do Allah on that item, you're going to be chayav karet. So he sees that as being a continuation of the previous pasuk, and that pasuk generates a chiyuv karet, therefore, for even things that were mukdash b'shat heter bamot, and then mukrav, or put on the mizbeach, b'shat iser bamot. So he learns that out from aleim tomar, alas mukhim tomar. From those that were adjacent, juxtaposed to this, then you have the same din of karet. Matkif la'roba, Rabba says, what are you talking about? Miktiv aleihem tomar. Doesn't write aleihem with an ayin, elehem ktiv. It writes it with an aleph, which means that even though it's pronounced as va'alehem, but the fact that it's written with an aleph means elehem. It seems to me that you're speaking to them, not about alehem, on those items that we spoke about before. Va'od, in addition to that, Tanya, we have a braita that seems to undermine that. Now what's interesting about this is that, if you remember earlier on, and Tosafot points this out, that the Gemara learned alehem to teach you la'arev parshiot. That was to co-join the two parshiot of Shchita and Ala'a, and to say that we can bring dinim from one to the other. Aval kule hai lo amran la'arev heter habamot al isur habamot. So Tosafot says, yes, we allow for certain crossover or cross-pollinization, but not the fact that you're going to cross now between heter habamot and isur habamot. Those are two different or two distinct items, but you can't just blur that type of difference. Well, Tanya, we have another braita that also seems to undermine that position of Rav Kahana. Rav Shimon had four principles with regards to Kodoshim. Hikdishan v'shat isra abamot. He's makdishit when it's asur. V'shachat v'he'ala v'shat isra abamot. He does the shchita na'ala the time of isra abamot. Bachutz, outside of the mikdash. Arihen, basay, v'lotasay, v'yishman karet. That's like our Mishnah. Asay, lotasay, and karet. Hikdishan v'shat heter abamot. If it was mukdash when there was heter abamot, vishachat ve'ala vishat isra abamot, and he does the shchita and the hala when it's already a time of isra abamot, ein ba'asei v'lotasei ve'ein ben karet. That's an asei and a lotasei and no karet. This undermines Rav Kahana. So here you see it mentions both shchita and hala, and it says despite the fact that it mentions hala, it says only asei v'lotasei and no karet. And that's against Rav Kahana, who says there's karet for hala even when the structure is hakdasha vishat heter abamot and hala. If he's makdish them when it was a zman of isra abamot, and then he only puts them on the mizbeach outside when it's shat heter abamot, harian ba'asei. They have only an asei. Rashi says over there, it's a violation of the asei of aviyum lashem el petach ol moed. The asei was that you were supposed to bring them on the mizbeach while it was still around, the bama gdola or the central mizbeach, and you failed to do that. So you're mivato the asei. There is no lotase because it's a shad heter abamot. So you can't say anything about him doing it b'chutz because it's not asur to do it b'chutz. The only thing you failed to do was mekayim the asay because when you were makdish them, you had an obligation to put them on that central mizbeach. Hikdisham b'shet heter abamot. If he's makdish at a time that it was heter abamot, b'shachat ve'ala b'shat heter abamot. And he put them on mizbeach b'shat heter abamot. Patur mikum. It's patur from anything. Now, first of all, this is completely unnecessary, of course. If he was makdish during heter abamot, and his maleh them during heter abamot, why would he be chayav at all? What's the question over here? So that's number one. It's extraneous. It's not necessary. Number two is, it shouldn't say patur, which implies that it's asur. It should say mutar, because it's totally fine. And it can't be speaking about a case where you're bringing chuvot on a b'mat yachid, which is not allowed, because that's already learned from lav haba mechlal asei, ish kol ha'ashar be'inav, yisharot, you're allowed to bring on the b'mat tana, not anything else. So it's a lav haba mechlal asei. Or truthfully, it's an explicit lo tasev, lo tasun kol asher anachnu osim po hayom. So that can't be what the bright is referencing to when it says patur miklum. So the Baal Tosafot indicate that this must be a case where there's something wrong with what you're doing. And he says, v'nir lefereish, demari ba'ula b'mat yachid. So a case where you were trying to bring a korban on a b'mat yachid, tafilu ikdisha al menat lakriva b'mat gdola. When you committed to bring it, you said, I'm going to bring it to the central mizbeach, the b'mat gdola. Tafilu ikhnisa bifnim, even if you took the korban all the way to the b'mat gdola, the kaltua mechitzot, kibisamuch, is an upcoming gemara that mechitzot then grab the korban and lock it in. Afilu achim chazar v'otziah. If he takes it back out from the b'mat gdola, and shachat ve'ala b'chutz, patur miklum. You're not chayav for that. You then violated a neder, or keeping your word, but you're not posel the korban. So it's a sur because you're violating your neder, but it is not create a chiyuv because that putting it on bechutz is not a problem because it's shat heter bamot. Number two is it doesn't ruin the korban, the fact that you said you were going to bring it on the bama gdola and you don't keep that word, that doesn't undermine or pusel the korban, and that's what the Braita is telling us, that chiddush. Where it says, tiyufta de Rav Kana, tiyufta, as we noted when we read the Braita, that statement in the Braita is clearly against Rav Kana's position, refutes his position, that there's a difference or a distinction between Shechita and Halah. So now, the Elu Kodoshim. The end of the Mishnah describes differences between a Bamat Yachid and a Bamat Tzibur. That these are the differences between them. Gemara says, how do you know that those differences exist? Or those items do not get done on a Bama. So Gemara says, Smicha. Smicha is not done on a Bama Ktana. Dichtiv, Lifnei Hashem. Because it says that you do it before Hashem. V'samach. And then you will do the smicha. So the pasuk has a requirement of smicha lifnei Hashem, and the bama ktana is clearly not lifnei Hashem, because it says there litzono lifnei Hashem v'samach et yado. The smicha the psukim it's lifnei Hashem and samach et yado teaches you smicha is only relevant when you're lifnei Hashem, and that's only true by a bama gdola. It's not true by a bama ktana. That's why by a bama gdola there is smicha, by a bama ktana there is no smicha. Shchitat tzafon, the fact that you have to do kodesh kodeshim in the north, dichtev tzafona lifnei Hashem. Because there it says again that the tzafona is done lifnei Hashem. So only when you're lifnei Hashem, which means you have to be in a central fixed location to be before lifnei Hashem, then you have to do tzafona. But if you're in a bamata yachid where you know for lifnei Hashem, there's no requirement of tzafona. Matanot tzaviv, the requirement to put matanot around the mizbeach shtayim shein arba, that the matanot dam have to touch all four sides of the mizbeach. Dichtiv, because the pasuk says, "Zakuat adam al mizbeach saviv, asher petach olmoed." So that the only time you have this requirement of mizbeach saviv is when it is petach olmoed. So that's true when you're dealing with a bama gedola. That's not true when you're dealing with a bama ktana. Tnufa. This is what we mentioned before: the wave offerings. Dichtiv enif hakoyin lifnei Hashem. Again, the tnufa has to be done lifnei Hashem. There really is no pasuk like that, but if you look in Vayikra, Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud Bet, over there, there's a combination of words that make this. It says, Lakach HaKoyin Et HaKeves HaEchad, V'kibo Oto LaHashem, Bet Lo Gashamen, V'enif Otam Tnufa Lifnei Hashem. So Lakach HaKoyin, the Koyin is in the beginning of the pasuk, and then it says, V'enif Otam Tnufa Lifnei Hashem. So that's the reference here, that there's a requirement of Tnufa be done Lifnei Hashem. So again, it's only true by Bama Gdola, not true by Bama Ktana. Hagasha, the requirement to bring the Mincha to touch the corner of the Mizbeach. That's brought in Vayikra Bet when it describes the bringing of Menachol. V'veitim et Mincha she'asem elo la'ashem, v'kriva la'kohen v'gisha la'mizbeach. So there, you have to bring it to Hashem, and be megish it to the Mizbeach. So it sounds from there that that Mizbeach is bringing it la'ashem, to Hashem or in front of Hashem. And then once again, that may say that that has to be done in a place where the Mizbeach is sitting bifnei Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda says there's no such thing as a mincha b'bama. Amar Rav Sheshet, the Divrei Omer yesh mincha b'bama, yesh ofot b'bama. According to the one who says that there is a mincha on a b'bama, there's also ofot that are brought on a b'bama. The Divrei Omer ain mincha b'bama, the one who says that there's no mincha on a b'bama, ain ofot b'bama. Then there's no ofot on the b'bama. So now, first of all, the Baal Tosfos will point out that this one distinction is not a distinction between b'bama gdola and b'bama ktana. All the other items before and further on in the Mishnah are distinctions between a bama gdola and a bama ktana. This one distinction about the mincha is true of both a bama ktana and a bama gdola. If you believe there are no minachot on a bama, that means you think there's no mincha not on a bama ktana and not on a bama gdola. If you think there is a mincha, then they can be brought on both. So this is a different than the other items that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Then the statement of Sheshit is that there's a correlation between ofot and mincha. If you allow minachot, you also allow ofot. If you don't allow minachot, you also don't allow ofot. And that is because the word zvachim is the key. Zvachim velo menachot. Zvachim velo ofot. And that is again from Achrei Mot, where the pasuk says, "Laman asher yivu bnei Yisrael tzivchehem asher zvachim al pnei asede, v'yivu l'Hashem el petach umoed el akwein v'zavchu zivchei shlamim l'Hashem." Where's Rashi says over here? Otam v'ukmin anel la'ikra b'kodshim shikdisham b'shetar abamot k'tiv otam miyuta. Otam is a mute. That Alma Zvachimu Davi Nigi Behov Lo Ofot Menachot. The only thing that has Heter Bamot is Otam. Those things that are mentioned in the Pasuk over there. And those are Zvachim. And Zvachim comes to exclude Ofot. And Zvachim comes to exclude Menachot. The other possibility of the pasuk that they're quoting over here, which is what it seems like Rashi had before they amended the Girsa in Rashi, is Vayizbechu Zvachim Shlamim LaHashem, which is a reference to the pasuk in Shmot Chav Dalet by Har Sinai. And that Rashi brings as the source for the fact that there's Zvachim Shlamim, and that's a miut to tell you Zvachim Lo Menachot, Zvachim Lo Ofot. The Kohen, how do you know that a Kohen is only by a Bama Gdola and not by a Bama Ktana? Dichtiv. He says, "V'tzavach HaKohen et Adam al Mizbach Hashem Petach Ol Moed." So that's again found here in Parshat Achrimot. And so there it says, again, al Mizbach Hashem Petach Ol Moed. So the Zrika is only done on Mizbach Hashem, that is Petach Ol Moed. Big Day Sharet only required the Sharet Bakodesh, for those that are serving in the Kodesh. Or in essence, they are basically correlated with the Kohanim. So if you are a Kohen, then you need Big Day Kuhuna. If you're not a Kohen, then you don't need Big Day Kuhuna. It says, So when they're in service, they require the Big Day Kuhuna. But if it's not a Kohen who's in service, like by a Bama Ktana that can be done by a Zar, there's no requirement for Big Day Kuhuna. There's a Girsa that brings a different Pasuk over here, which is the Pasuk, in essence, teaches the same thing, which is, Shivat Yamim Yubashem HaKohen. So that Yubashem HaKohen again associates the Big Day Sharet with the Kohen, and therefore only if there's a Kohen is a requirement for Big Day Sharet, and we just proved that a Kohen only services in a Bama Gdola, not a Bama Ktana. Uklei Sharet, Asher Yashartu Ubam BaKodesh. That those things that are pertinent to service by Kodesh, which is, Lachut Koklei Asheret Asher Yashartu Ubam BaKodesh. So they're only put into service when there's the Kodesh, when you're found in a place that is Kadosh, and therefore it's only by Bamat HaTzibur, and not by Bamat HaYachid. The Reach Nichoach, so again there, the Mishnah says that you only need Reach Nichoach by Bamat HaTzibur, and not by Bamat HaYachid, and if you remember from earlier in the Masechta, Reach means it has to have a good smell. You can't barbecue it before you put it on the Bama. It has to be put on as the good smelling meat that it's actually cooked on the barbecue. Nichoach is Nachat Ruach LaHashem. So Reach Nichoach is a requirement by the Bamat HaTzibur, not by Bamat HaYachid. That's again because it says, Raka Koinat Adama Mizbach Hashem Petach Ol Moed, Viktira Chelev the Reach Nichoach Lashem. So the continuation of that pasuk called Petach Ol Moed. So that indicates that the Reach Nichoach also only has to be done Petach Ol Moed. Michitza Bidamim. So the Mishnah says that there's no difference between the Idamim on the upper half and lower half of the Mizbach, meaning there's no Chuta Sikra on a Bama Ktana, where there is on a Bama Gdola. How do you know that? Tichtiv. Vaita Reshet Ad Chatzi Ha Mizbeach. So there, the Ha Mizbeach is a note to the Mizbeach. So that's only true in Mizbeach, Hainu Miyuta, Ha Mizbeach. On that Mizbeach, Lechudei Dari Bakra. Only in the Mizbeach that's found in the Ol Moed, the Mizbeach that's found in the central location, that's a Mizbeach that has Chuta Sikra, and that has that Reshet that defines the halfway mark of the Mizbeach, in order to have the Mim Elyonim and the Mim Tachtonim. But that means outside of the central location, a Bamat HaYachid will not require that. Rechutz Yadayim. How do you know that Rechutz Yadayim only applies to a Bamat HaTzibur and not by Bamat HaYachid? Dichtiv. Rekar Vadam El Ha Mizbeach Yerchatzu. So it's either because, again, it has the miut of Ha Mizbeach, or it's because Yerchatzu Yadayim is a reference to the Kohanim. And the Kohanim have to wash their hands. And again, since you don't need a Kohen, you don't need to wash your hands because there's a correlation between the two of them. Right now we have a statement of Rami Bar Chama. Statement of Rabbi Chama, we'll read it the way that's found in the Gemara, and then we'll show that there is an alternate girsa that Rashi has in the Gemara, which is almost the opposite of what's written here. So we'll first read it. This is the version of the Gemara that was found, as Tosafot calls in the Sfarim Yishanim, in the older Sfarim. It's a girsa that Tosafot favors, but it has impact, number one, on the final statement that we're going to use in today's Gemara, as well as tomorrow's Gemara, as to how you have the girsa here, will then flow through to the explanation of the Gemara on tomorrow's daf. That is Amri Rechana. Lo shanu ela b'kodshei bama ktana. This fact that chitzui adam, that there's no chuta sikra, and that there's no requirement for damim elyonim, damim tachtonim, and all the other trappings that are associated with the bama gdola, that's only true b'kodshei bama ktana, b'krivum bama ktana. If you had something that was brought to a bama ktana, you had intended for it to be put there, you were makdish it for that purpose, and you were makriv it there. Aval b'kodshei bama ktana, if you were makdishit to place on a bama ktana, and in the end, the karvinu bama gdola, and in the end you did put it on a bama gdola, yesh chitzui. There is a split. You have to be worried about damim elyonim, damim tachtonim. You have to take care to follow what you would normally do on a bama gdola, even though this item was mukdash for a bama ktana. So Moti Rabba, Rabba challenges that view. Chaze v'shok, truma lachmei toda, noagim b'kodshei bama gdola, ve'noagim b'kodshei bama katana. These already been mentioned before, that these items are not present or not done on a bama katana, because they all require tnufa lifnei Hashem. They can't be done on a bama katana, which is not lifnei Hashem. They can only be done on a bama gdola. But the formulation is interesting. It says, noagim b'kodshei bama gdola. It's only relevant for things that were mukdash for bama gdola. It's not noeg for things that are mukdash for bama katana. So that means that if it was mukdash for bama katana, even if it ends up on a bama gdola, from this brayta, it sounds like you would still have a din of a bama katana. Where it says, Ema, emended to read the following. Noagim b'bama gdola, v'noagim b'bama katana. That what it means is that they were nahug on a bama gdola. They were nahug on a bama katana. Whatever you end up putting them on that mizbeach, that's what's relevant. It's not where they were mukdash, what they were mukdash for. It's what the end game is. So if you end up on a bama gdola, even if it was mukdash to a bama katana, that will be the din. So they amend the brayta to fit that position of Rami Bar Chama. Ike de Amre. It's an alternate line version of Rami Bar Chama. Amar Rami Bar Chama lo shanu ela be kodshei bama gdola, bikrivyam be bama gdola. This is only true if, first of all, you were makdishit to put on a bama gdola, and you actually did it on a bama gdola. Then all of these items have to take place, the chitzui damim, and all the other items are done to the korban. Aval, the kodshei bama katana, when it comes to kodshei bama katana, you were makdishit to put on a bamata yachid, af agav de karvinu bama gdola. Even if the end you brought on a bama gdola, ein chitzui, there's no necessity for splitting the dam to the upper and lower half, all the trappings of bama gdola do not apply over here. So now the Gemara says, lema misayile, let us say that this is a support for him, the bright that we brought before. So it sounds like you're right. If as long as it is mukdash for a bama gdola, that's when it'll have all this din of being put on a bama gdola. But it was mukdash for a bama katana. Irrespective of where it ends up, it doesn't have all the dinim of a bama gdola. It says, Ema noagim bama gdola, ve'ein noagim bama katana. So similar to what we did before, if you amend the brayta, say not about kochei, but rather just simply bama gdola and bama katana, it's no longer a proof to Rami Bar Chama. And since you don't know which way it's going to be read, or if you amend it, it won't be a proof to him, then the brayta is no longer a proof to him. Upliga de Rabbi Elazar. The latter statement of Rami Bar Chama argues on Rabbi Elazar. Dame Rabbi Elazar, ulat bamat yachid, shechnisa bifnim. If you have an olah that was dedicated, mukdash, to be put on a bamat yachid, and that it got taken into the area of the bamat gdola, kaltua mechitzot nuchol davar. The mechitzot have grabbed it, and elevated it, and made it now necessary to put it on the bamat gdola, with all the trappings of a bamat gdola. So you see there, something that was mukdash to a bamat yachid, gets elevated to be put on a bamat gdola, and turned into a korban that belongs in a bamat gdola, and has all the trappings of a bamat gdola, even though it started out as being mukdash for bama katana. So that would be consistent with the first version of Rami Bar Chama, but inconsistent with the second version of Rami Bar Chama, and that's what it says over here, upliga. This second version of Rami Bar Chama argues on Rabbi Elazar. That's the version that we have in our Gemara. If you look in the Masorah de Shas on the side here, on the right side, he basically recreates the Gemara based on what Rashi's Girsa would be. And that is, Tzarich Lomar, this is what it should have said. Lo shanu ela bekodshei bama gdola, v'kriva bama gdola. That's only true, this whole din of all those things that belong on a bama gdola and all the things you have to do there, if it was kodshei bama gdola, it was mukdash for bama gdola, and put on a bama gdola. Avo bekodshei bama gtana, v'karvinu bama gdola, if it was started out for kodesh for bama gtana, and then they put on bama gdola, ein chitzui. There is no chitzui. They doesn't get the dinim. Meitiv rabba chaze b'shoku truma lo toda. Noagim b'bama gdola, ve'noagim b'bama katana. So they are noeg in the bama gdola, not noeg in the bama katana. Ema, noagim b'kodshei bama gdola, ve'noagim b'kodshei bama katana. So it's the other way around. The brayta says that they were noeg on a bama gdola, irrespective of where they came from, and it was not noeg in a bama katana. But then, that would be a problem for the statement of Rami Bar Chama. So that's what the Gemara meant it to say, no, it's noagim b'kodshei bama gdola. It's noeg, but something that is mukdash for a bama gdola. And it doesn't have an effect on something that's mukdash for bama katana. So if you're makdish for bama katana, it is not good to be put on a bama gdola. Then, ikadam, right? There's an alternate language. Rami Bar Chama, lo shanu ela bizman bama gdola. It's only true at the time of a bama gdola. Aval bizman ba maktana, at the time of maktana, afagav de gravino ba makdola, ein chitzui. Even if you put it on a ba makdola, there is no chitzui. In this second version of Rami Bar Chama, the distinction is between zman heter abamot and zman isra abamot. Lo shano bizman ba makdola. That's only in the time period where there's a b'magdola, meaning it's a zman iser habamot. That's when you have all these trappings that have to be done. Aval b'zman b'magdana, and zman there's heter habamot, afagal d'garvinu b'magdola. Here if you bring that which is supposed to go on the b'magdana, on the b'magdola, ein chitzui. You don't have to do any of the things that are required of a b'magdola, or meaning sometimes the things that have to be done when there's iser habamot. It's motiv rabba. He's chazeh v'shok chumat lachmei todah. Noagim be b'magdola, ve'noagim be b'magdana. They're noeg on a b'magdola, they're not noeg on a b'magdana. So that means that they are noeg on a b'magdola, irrespective of what the zman is. If it's a b'magdola, you have this, irrespective of what time period it is. Ema emended to say, noagim be zman gedola, ve'noagim be zman ktana. They are noeg at the time when there is a isra b'mot, they're not noeg when there's a time of heter b'mot. That means, according to this version, Upliga de Rabbi Elazar. In this version, Rabbi Bar Chama argues on Rabbi Elazar in both versions. In the second version, he says that all these dinim are only applicable bizman isra abamot. But bizman heter abamot, they are not applicable at all. And it's clear here that Rabbi Elazar believes that if you have something that was mukdash for a b'maktana, and then you bring it up to a b'makdola, then you have to do whatever is required of a b'makdola. That's clearly a zman of heter abamot. And yet, when you bring it up to the b'magdola, you have to do it like the b'magdola. So that's one thing. Number two is the first version of Rabbi Yochama, according to this, says that anything that is nahug b'kodshei b'magdola, v'nahugu b'kodshei b'magdana. So anything that is kodesh to be on a b'magdola, that has the trappings of a b'magdola. Anything that's kodesh for a b'magdana never has the din of a b'magdola. That also argues on Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says if you start out kodesh for a b'magdana, and then you put on a b'magdola, then you take on the trappings of a b'magdola. This very first version of Rabbi Yochama says, there is no din. If it's kodesh for b'magdana, it remains with the din of a b'magdana, even if you put it on a b'magdola. So in that way, according to Rashi's version of the Gemara, both statements of Rabbi Bar Chama argue on Rabbi Elazar. And then the Gemara is going to then spend time understanding this idea of kaltua mechitzot and what it means. But the way that you read the Gemara beforehand influences how you read the Gemara subsequent to this. Okay, we're going to stop here on the last line of Kuf Yutet Amud Bet.